Alrighty, good morning. We've been talking quite a lot about the Olympics this morning. I see lots of people making suggestions of what South Africans will get if they win. They'll get a bucket of KFC, says somebody. Somebody else said that the way we treat our Olympians is a disgrace. It's Congo Chris getting all uppity in the comments. But he does say, all hail Lord Gayton of Mackenzie, first of his name. Listen, Ben was just saying now, Gayton is enjoying the job. Yes. And it should be. It's a fun job. In the whole cabinet, that's not an important one. It just isn't. Most countries don't have a sports minister. But South Africans are so obsessed with sport, we had to have one. And most of them have been very lazy and quite useless and probably never did any sports in their lives.
Mm-hmm. No.
But this one is doing his best, and I like it.
No, it's like every minister should be doing this. Get out there and have fun with what you do because this is your portfolio. Like, when last did you see a minister of police at a shooting range working on his shot?
Yeah.
Or like going to places and kicking down doors and stuff?
Yeah. Punching a criminal.
I know you say, well, he's not a policeman. It's like, but be in the mix. Yeah, be in the mix.
When Pete is getting in the mix and
yes.
Do the Lord's work, Umpit. You have my viva.
Umpit must Amalala. Be going.
Like, let's go.
Sapira's favorite minister because he's like raiding the prisons.
Yes. Absolutely. Get your hands dirty with your portfolio.
Yeah, like that's
if you're
what
into
we need.
Forestry and that kind of stuff. I want to see you in a forest. I want to see you doing things.
Yeah.
Where's the clean water coming from?
Yes.
Your work.
Exactly.
Do your work.
Exactly. I mean, if you're going to do something performative, at least make it entertaining for the rest of us.
I mean, like, does the Minister of Basic Education ever read a times table to a child?
No.
Okay, I probably can't.
They can't. They don't know their times tables.
But that's where we're going with this.
Oh. Well, let's see. It's a different time, Ben. Who knows? Anything's possible. So I do want to get into this quickly because it's something you mentioned sports kits earlier, and there's a discussion of that on the Bounce show, which you've got to listen to and you've got to subscribe to, and you can get it all here. We will put the notes in the comments, but you know where to find it. It's on this channel. You guys were talking about where sports kits came from, and now they're ubiquitous. Anybody, even people who are not sports fans, everybody has a piece of sports memorabilia or a piece of sports branded clothing in their cupboard. Everyone.
Yeah, it's a strange
rich,
thing,
poor,
no?
old, young, wherever you're from in the world. It doesn't even have to be a team that you have any connection to. But people have this stuff. And people wear it. They wear it to the office. They wear it to Bry's. They wear it to whatever. Is it acceptable, though? And this is a question that many people ask. Is it acceptable for people to wear a soccer shirt to a date?
Oh, hell no.
I feel like someone scarred you.
Hell no. No.
She's been taken by the spirit.
Have you gone on a date with a football shirt and wearer?
No, because I'm very strict on what you can and cannot wear on dates with me.
So what's the rule here? No.
It's a no.
What's wrong with it? What does it tell you about that person?
It's just a bit too casual. It's just too...
But he's literally representing the first team. This is him. He's coming out to play.
He wants you to know Man United are his favorite team.
Oh, my gosh. That's so problematic.
He's looking to be his best.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
He's put on his kit.
Yeah.
No. Okay. We're not going to talk sports. We're not going to talk about Man United and them once upon a time being the great and whatnot.
I'm glad
and
you
now
said
they're
once
just,
upon a time
yeah,
being the greatest.
Yeah,
it's
and then like, they're
listen.
Losing now and they're like at the bottom of the log and you're just like, I've been there forever. No.
What if he's rich and good looking but likes wearing football jerseys?
Well, you need to be rich to get these kits. They're like $1,200 to start, and that's the shitty ones.
No.
Still no.
I dress up. I look good right now for the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is just the show.
Yeah.
Imagine for a date now. Come on now. Put some respect on my name. You also need to show up. I also need to look at you and be like, you look nice. You put an effort.
You've made some, you know, you've gone to some trouble.
Yeah, you know. Huh. And then when we go watch the rugby, yay, babes, do your thing. Wear that expensive t-shirt. I don't care.
If the first date is to Ellis Park or Loftus, then
you see,
yes.
I'm not that girl.
Gear
I would
up.
Not do first dates.
But you wouldn't go on
there.
A date anyway. No. I agree with everything you just said there.
What if a woman from Pretoria West said to you, yeah, do you want to come to the East West Bubbles? Ben, will you? West
I'm
Bubble,
ready
you to come.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
And she, you'd be like, sold to the lady in the blow-biller shirt.
It wouldn't be a date, though. It'd be a sporting experience because romantically, I would not want to be involved in that woman.
Because a lot of those chicks who like present on CakeNet who would probably, that would be their first date.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really think about it very much, but I don't have the reaction that Simpiwe does to, I really think about it. Like if someone's wearing a sports shirt of some kind of team that they support, I'm like, I'd hardly even notice it, to be honest.
But Simpiwe, I just think that you jump into conclusions here. Women are looking for loyalty nowadays. If this person gets up in their shirt that they've supported this team, they're showing a characteristic trait you might want to find in a man.
You might also be telling me you're a loser. Why are you still supporting Man United? Come on now.
Loyalty,
come on.
Loyalty, you take L's for loyalty. Trust me, if this guy's going to be in a relationship with a woman, he's going to take some L's.
Yeah.
No.
It's telling you something.
No. I
mean, look, okay, so the first date he's in Paris Saint-Germain shirt and the next date he's in a Man City shirt. Dump him. Gotcha.
Yeah. I look askance at people who have stickers on their cars and you can see they've put the one team on top of the other because they've just won recently. That's not loyalty. I have no respect for that.
And also, if he is a Chiefs supporter straight out, then that's,
we decide policy for everyone on this show.
Of course, we have to. It's our role.
It's our role. This is our real purpose in society. Yeah. Mm. What is our edict on people who move? Do they have to support the team of the place they move to, or must they stay loyal to the team of the place they're from?
Good question. Because
I mean internationally and locally. Like for example, if I move to Durban, let's say I got hit really hard in the head. And I went, moved to Durban. Would I have to support the Sharks?
No. Firstly, because they're shy. Secondly, you're quite old. Mm. So, I mean, there's a lot of years of being here as a Blue Bull. So, I grew up in Cape Town. So, yes. I still support the Stormers. That's my team.
Right.
I like the Lions. I mean, I've done half-half. I was a child in Cape Town. I was an adult in Joburg. But
In the East Rand where Simpiwe is from, really knife crime is their sport. But
don't mess with us.
But there aren't any teams in that.
You see,
but there aren't any teams for that. That's why she doesn't like the jerseys. Just by the way, we're getting to the truth of this. But what do you think? I mean, I've got friends who have moved overseas, and then South Africa will play against Canada, and then they'll support Canada.
No, that doesn't make sense.
Gosh, they're still your friends.
What's the rule, though?
No, you still support South Africa. That in that case, when it comes to international things,
you need to be patriotic. You've got to also ask, what are the terms that they left this country? Was there a home invasion? Were they stabbed, raped endlessly? Sometimes you want to turn your back on the country.
Bring back the smile and be like, oh my gosh, South Africa was great once upon a time. Period,
but then you get the PTSD when you see a South African. So you're like, no, I'm not supporting those folks. I'm not going to support Canada. So sometimes it's mitigating circumstances.
What has Canada done for you? No. Okay.
Not stabbed
it's not
you in the
giving
face.
You a character, okay?
But it's giving you a safe place.
It's giving you a place where you don't get abused and like killed. So yeah, right. I mean, so there could be mitigating circumstances.
So Carl says, if you move to New Zealand and then start supporting the All Blacks, you must be put down like a dog.
Well, you're in New Zealand. Like the punishment's already kind of been inflicted.
Yeah, I think like the New Zealand's got its own
punishment. Also, like if you're not very good at making friends, say like you're socially inept or whatever, you go to that country and now you rock up there with your other jersey, less chance. So if you don't make any mates and you go to New Zealand with no mates, you might be an All Black supporter to make mates.
Yeah, you see.
If you walk in there with your like box jersey, they're all going to be like, who are you? You know, are you a visitor? And then you could be like, nah.
Are you a visitor?
Yeah.
Simpiwe turned into like Catherine Tate. She's like, are you a visitor?
That's a lovely thought, but they will hate you. They'll throw produce at you straight away.
And then you can character development, I guess. Like that's your fault for moving. All I'm saying, be patriotic and
support SA
if they're winning, of course.
Okay, but look, also there's two things. So if you move overseas and you support rugby, you'll support the Springboks. If you move overseas and you support football, you might not be the biggest Bafana fan. Because let's be honest, everyone loves winners.
I also think that when you move to another place, let's just say another province, right? So we can keep it from becoming international and bitter. Let's just say another province. I think people have their own reasons. Maybe in order to fit in the community you're in, you have to support the local team.
There is that.
Right? And then you don't really care about the team. You're just doing it so that you can have social interaction with the people around you, which is perfectly acceptable. I'm not going to nail you for that. And frankly, I mean, I could care less what your team support is, but I know I'm the exception to that rule. Most people take it very serious.
But it's good, though, because again, like I said, loyalty is a dying characteristic. So if someone from Leeds United Simpiwe takes you out for a Nando's lunch, then look past the things that don't appeal to you.
I don't think I can. It's just like if someone wore Crocs. I'm judging you, and I'm just like, no. Like, you are a walking red flag. That's what you are in my life. It's the same thing with football jerseys on a date. If we're not doing something adventurous, or we're going to a game, and I'm not that type of girl to go to games, why?
Okay, all so right. Let's just say everything goes well in the date, and it comes down to the bedroom. The Oak drops trowel, Man United boxes. Then what are we talking there? Because ultimately, this is inward facing, but he's still
made out of that shiny visco.
That shiny visco stuff not smoke cigarettes around. Yeah. And he drops his rods, and that's what you see. Is it still game off?
Yeah. Come on, what's going to happen?
Well, if we made it that far, clearly no.
It's got the game shall continue. Peter Schmeichel's face by the crotch.
I'm just judging him, and I'm like, we have to upgrade you, sir. I need to start taking you to new shots.
What if it's an old pair with Beckham and Owen on it?
Scott Beckham, it says golden balls in the front.
So exciting. All right, enough of that. I have to ask you about this. We were talking on Wednesday's show. Jack brought up the fact that there are there's this thing about Deleuze. He had the stroke, his family trying to raise money for his medical care. Some people think it's cheap and nasty. And why should we support the artists who didn't look after their money? Other people want to help. I don't really have a feeling on this, but apparently there's a backlash going on.
Yes, there is. So people have basically said he must just die. Like, we're not going to donate.
South Africa's full of lovely, caring people on Twitter, aren't we?
Yeah, the way they just did a 180, they were first like, oh, get better, you know, speedy recovery. And then they're like, nah, he must just go die. But the family, I think, has moved
Ben's in. Right. There's no loyalty. None. It's none.
Dead a guy in a football shirt. Just as long as we pick up the pieces.
I'm not sure about that one. But there is update. I think the family has moved him from a private to a public hospital.
Ooh, so therefore he is going to die.
Don't say that. Betunana. You know? No. We're going to wish him the best, and he shall make a speedy recovery.
Did you go, uh-oh. Before you... Is that how that went?
You know, we have some good doctors, and I think they might do a good job.
Yeah,
you know?
Look, it's a tough story because, I mean, he would, not that I know him personally, but, I mean, this is a guy that lived the high life.
Yeah, he did.
And he
burnt... But he also provided many people with great entertainment.
He did. You know? He burnt the candle wherever you could burn the candle, and now the family's like, GoFundMe. Mm. Now, I can see where some people might be thinking, the cheek of it all.
Yeah, I mean, his brand, I mean, he is called the North God, you know, so he did present as...
Quite a lofty self-claimed brand there.
You know, like he did sell this image of like, I come from a wealth family. I'm not the first of my family to be making money. You know, this has been a lineage of money. And so now people are just like, so your mother's mentioned she can't help you with 200K. Your auntie can help you with a milli for the medical bills. And then it's like, but the reality of things is that A, he did have medical aid, but it doesn't cover everything. And also B, that like COVID has really affected people. So we can't just assume that everyone has a million rand chilling in the bank. We really can't. And so
I think we can pretty much guess most people do not have a million rand.
You know what I mean?
Waiting in the bank,
so
just chilling.
We shouldn't be like, oh, I can't believe you guys are asking for help, because that's such a vulnerable thing to do. You're at the mercy of somebody else when you say, hey, can you help me with this? Can you send me 500 rand? Can you put 1,000 rand? You really are at the mercy of everybody else. But I think people are being mean. And I'm just like, it's a good thing that they moved them to a public hospital, because now, you know.
Is public just a nice way of saying government hospital?
Yeah.
Because government sounds like death.
It's not. You see, okay, let me stand up, because I have a doctor friend who works in a government hospital, right?
So you know what I'm talking about.
And those guys really do work, right? And when it comes to, I think, the trauma response and whatnot. Oh,
they're very good.
We've got the greatest doctors. Yeah, no doubt.
So I'm just like, you know what? I do think he's in safe hands. I do think he'll make it out alive. I really do think so. And then anything after that, it's not on the government, you know.
Yeah, he'll be in safe hands.
Yes.
But outside of the hands, the facilities aren't safe. So you can only be held. Anyway, I obviously wish him nothing but the best. And there I think also it's a very difficult thing. Yeah, sure, you can say, oh, they're cheap and this kind of stuff. To ask other people for money, to ask strangers for money, that must be soul destroying. Yeah. That must be so incredibly difficult. Yeah. And to know that that's all you got.
And people don't forget, there was a YouTuber, I think just a year ago, he vlogs his life and whatnot, and is doing somewhat okay. His mom passed on. Mom is in a different province. So he was like, hey, my mom's policies had lapsed. I didn't know about it. Could you guys help me? And then the public helped him. They sent money. A few months later, he bought a new car. Did the public not be like, that's our money that you bought a new car with, you know? Mm. And then, like, now he's in a new relationship. They're like, yeah, you're in a relationship with our money. You're buying things with our money.
Well,
people are mean. Asking for help is so, like, yo.
Well,
guys,
I would love us to apply that kind of thinking to government in general. Like, when we see them wasting our money, because it's our money.
And
We see them buying cars and unnecessary stuff. I mean, I heard that the MEC for finance in KZN, the new MEC, he said he got in there and they said to him, you have 8 cars. He's like,
for what?
What do I need 8 cars for? They're like, no, but that's what the previous MEC. This is not like the premier or a minister. This is like a provincial minister. He had 8 cars.
For who, what, where, why?
So that's your money. So that's where if we're gonna lay into celebrities who have asked for a donation and we've helped them.
Yeah.
We don't even get asked by government, right? They just take. Before you even pass go, before you get your salary, they've already got their share. So
yeah, it's just the celebrities.
If we see them pissing their money away, we should get just as angry as we get when we see some YouTuber misappropriating funds.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're easier targets, obviously, and especially when they're ill. I mean, Deleuze is an easy target for a lot of these people.
Right.
Politicians should be the targets all the time.
Oh.
And the rest is like, yeah, sure, judge, but don't go too hard.
All right. I do want to squeeze in one or two more things. We've got Chris Forrest joining us in just a moment or two. I'm thrilled that this guy spent 25 years making comedy better, and we're going to celebrate that this morning.
It's weird. Doesn't look a day over 30.
All right, what about this? This is quite a big thing. This is a lady at a KFC, I think in Krugersdorp. But this is how
KFC is, I mean,
the story can only go badly if those are the words you started
with. Krugersdorp? Okay, let's go with this. Just comments afterwards. Save your comments.
Okay.
Right.
Hallo julle, skus my stem, maar ek is siek, ja. So ek en my maat lekker KFC bestel vir 'n lekker Sondag lunch. So ek het vir my 'n burger gekry, crunch burger, en my ma 'n lekker streetwise toe met 2 lekker stukkies hoender en 'n chippies. En toe het Lia gister verjaar, my babietjie is 1 jaar oud, en sy het die lekker koek gehad, toe eet ons het lekker vir dessert.
Mm. So the real reason I wanted you to see that is the deceitfulness. At the end, her 1-year-old baby's birthday. But that cake is not for the baby.
She already had 3/4 of it when she showed it to you.
Right. I mean, it's been put in a Tupperware, which means there was more before. Okay, and what I don't like is the lying. I don't mind.
Is that took away?
She has her crunch burger and her mom has the streetwise too, which, by the way, is, I think, a very sensible choice. But the cake, it's the lying. Yeah. Esmeralda, or whatever your name is, it's the lying that we find so hurtful.
It's the lying for me.
Yeah, that's what really hurts.
Firstly, yeah? I find the aspect ratio hurt me. There was a lot crammed into that vertical frame. Should have been on Twitter with the 16:9.
Like, very interesting.
I want to know if this is true. Someone posted this yesterday, a picture of what they think is cutlery that every South African home has. It did look familiar. I happen to not have this cutlery, but I have seen it many a time.
Nazu.
So take a look. If you're on the YouTube channel, this is what we do.
Oh, we
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, kids. Yeah.
Oh, okay. They must reframe. No. Black people. Black people.
And no, white. Oh, as kids, oh, okay. I remember there being
that. We had
that.
It, says Simpio. Oh, we've been having it.
I'm just like, you're putting right. the glasses my grandmother wanted.
Yes.
You should. Yay. No crack.
There was obviously one charismatic traveling salesman in the 80s and just knocked out thousands of these.
That is a cutlery set that every South African knows.
When I go back to my parents' house again, I'm pretty sure in the depths of the drawer, I'll find that.
That
fork.
Is like the Sunday best as well sometimes, you know?
And it's glass, a versus all Sunday right? best. Yeah,
that no, glass?
The glass looks a bit more, I like my whiskey too much, but the cutlery set, yes.
I mean, that's very familiar. So I just thought probably... one of those rare moments where the internet gives us a chance to look in the mirror.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys, I know in most black households, they had the same picture. It was of this lady carrying her child. And it's like, it's a portrait like this. Every single black household had that picture.
No, Cynthia.
I promise you. No, did you guys not have?
No.
Oh, okay. Why are you looking at me?
I'm asking. Since we're going, guys, since we're talking about childhood, I'm just making sure. So it's my there people thing. Okay.
Flex,
yeah,
he
knows
same,
what I'm talking about.
Same and Flex, same cutlery set? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Very good.
I just had to make sure.
All right, you see, like this is what we learned.
Like a Reader's Digest monthly sale that you guys all got caught up on.
It was probably a Reader's Digest picture or the centerfold from a U magazine that they just made look smarter. So here's another thing. This is how, and I can't validate this, I can't say it's true, but it feels like it should be true. This is how men have changed since the 1940s.
Oh, it's probably true.
Yeah, there's a couple of details here. I'm just going to have to pull up the picture so that we can discuss it at some length.
Oh.
Okay, so here we go. All right. This is how men have changed, all right? So in the 1940s, there's the guy. He's height 1.8 meters, weight 90 kilograms, age 25, penis length, flaccid 10 centimeters, erect 19, okay, and thick body hair, like a pelt. Then we skip forward to the 1980s.
My type of guy.
Okay, he's 1.8 meters, 78 kilograms, light chest hair, some musculature and strength, thick pubic hair, and penis length of 8 centimeters flaccid, erect 15.
Yeah, maybe. Sure.
Okay. Then the 2010s is the third one. Age 25, height 1.7, weight 65, limited musculature and strength, no chest hair, light pubic hair, and penis length, obviously getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Then... the final one, this is what an average white male would look like in 2040.
That okay? looks like a female.
Guys, this is what you got to look forward to. Your sons will grow up to be like this, all right? Are you ready? Predicting from current trends in the 2040s on average, white males will be smaller and weaker than females of all races. So maybe this whole Olympic thing is just a question of time and place.
The Algerian box is just ahead of their time.
Yeah. No body hair. Development of proto-breasts, no muscular development, physically weak, and penis length.
Penis flaccid, length, NA.
Flaccid 4 centimeters, erection not possible.
Yeah, so I just feel like everything there is probably truthful except for the 1940s guy. How many World War II movies have you seen with Chad over there running around with his fucking barrel chest and large penis? That's bullshit. That's a 90s oak with discipline. Otherwise, I agree.
Conga Chris says, I did not approve the usage of my image. I am from the 40s, though. All right, take that picture off.
Thank you.
We'll probably get banned from YouTube anyway. Carl says, 19 centimeters. Motherfucker's going to kill someone. In winter, I have to sit down to pee. All right, very good. Very, very good. That is all we have time for on this segment of the show, which means we get to say goodbye to Ben. Bye, Ben.
Yeah, and Alex. I'm the 80s guy. Alex. I'm 1.8 meters tall. I'm 78 kilograms.
And all the other
look
measurements are about right too, and I'm sure, Ben.
Guys, I didn't measure my cock. I mean, come on, I'm a grown man. I know that I'm happy and I've got enough. I mean,
well, there we go. Thank you, Ben. Get
bye,
out of
Ben.
Here. What an awkward moment to leave the show straight after he's talked about measurements.
Everyone's going to be like,
all right, get out of here. Okay, very good. Now, let me tell you, I heard a rumor that this man has been celebrating 25 years of comedy. I don't need an excuse to have him on the show, but he happened to be in town and he managed to find a free morning, and this is it. So here he is. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
How the hell are you, Chris Forrest?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
It's lucky to see you, man.
I brought you some bacon jam. I only brought one, though.
I'll take it. Thank you.
There we go.
Simply is, but basically, gift horse mouth. Never
there we go. Take it. I just want to show you something else because I'm passionate about this. You showed those knives and forks. Yes. I don't know if you'll be able to see it,
yeah,
but these plates.
Okay.
Yeah, every, well.
I don't know how to get
it. Can you see that? Those plates with the flowers on.
Yes.
I remember those.
And then there's a brown lining around it.
Yep. Every South African house had those plates.
I do agree.
And we ate off them with those knives and forks.
I remember those plates too. So this time I'm totally on board. And I do know that crockery, I mean the cutlery from earlier. I do know it. Mm-hmm. I just, I don't have it now.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah. Some things we just need to leave in the past. Like,
My parents still have both. My mom was born during the Second World War. She doesn't throw anything away ever. So she's still got both. Yeah. I still eat off those plates with those knives and forks at her house.
PTSD, huh?
I'm okay now, though.
No, all right. Well, listen, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
25 years in comedy. It is a tough business. You are still flying high. People love you. You are hysterical. We're going to find out when and where people can still see you doing your thing. But yes. What are we doing to celebrate? Are we going to have a party? Is there a cake?
There's no cake.
Not like that not like that KFC woman. I'll get you a barrel. I mean, we were talking earlier about the Olympic athletes and maybe what we should do for them because we don't have a lot of money as a country. But we can get them a bucket of KFC when they come back.
Do they even eat KFC?
I think they're dying for KFC. They're like they've been eating nothing
healthy
but
shit,
like
broccoli and
weird, chicken and brock. Yeah, but only skinless chicken breasts,
right?
With a hint of Tabasco sauce. That's the only joy they get in their life.
Vinegar.
Yes. And now she's Tatiana. Did you see her swim last night?
Yeah.
She was so happy to come second, and then, but she's got a gold already, so it's awesome.
Yeah.
So she deserves. She can.
She can have as much KFC.
She can let that grease drip down. Sure.
But just because you were sitting here, you heard a lot of our commentary. I find people like that woman who posted the clip from Krugersdorp. I think it's Krugersdorp. I don't want to be mean, but I think
I think
what bothered me about it is the cake part at the end. But you see, I'm not going to discriminate. If you like eating KFC, that's great. But don't lie to me about the cake for the baby.
I'll bet you $20, because I'm loaded, that she had a Diet Coke with that. She was like, she likes Street Class 2, Biggie Cook for dessert, and a Coke Zero.
Diet Coke, yeah, please.
Yeah, so, the diet.
All right. Well, the last time we saw you, you actually you brought us a coffee machine and you were busy. But you're doing a lot of things, not just comedy.
That was a long time ago.
I know, dude, but I remember. See, I'm great. I'm
well, obviously
that kind
I brought
of
you a coffee machine. How many of you guests bring you a coffee machine?
You do something nice.
It's not
me,
here,
I
by the way.
It.
It's, we
didn't bring it with us, but but I mean, all the stuff that you're involved in. Tell us what's been going on.
So my big thing right now, big thing that I'm super passionate about is I don't know if you know the TV show The Ultimate Brymaster.
Yes, I've seen it.
So I love brying. During lockdown, I had not as much comedy as I normally have, so I qualified as a chef.
Nice. No slacker. Hey, you weren't just sitting around waiting for COVID to end.
No, well, I was for the most part, and then I had to spend time with my kids. I was like, "Ooh, let me do something else." I'm kidding. I love my kids. So a friend of mine owns the HTA School of Culinary Arts, and I helped him out with some adverts. And then he said to me, "He said
HTA isn't that chlorine?
Not HTH with an A at the end.
HTA. Oh, I thought it was the HTH School of Culinary Arts.
It's a very different,
very sterile.
Yes, that's not my favorite restaurant.
Okay,
but so I helped him out with some adverts, and he said, "How much must I pay?" I said, "Don't pay me. Let me do your course." So I ended up doing his year-long course and got a qualification.
Because I know that the French, you have to learn to do 100 things with an egg. You have to cook an egg in 100 different ways.
Yeah, your culinary stuff as well with that egg,
right?
I'm not sure about that. That's the folds and the hat is the different ways to cook the hat. That's the
lies. lies.
I'm sure it's true on some level. I didn't learn 100 things. I can scramble one. Oh,
but like what can you do that you couldn't do? Because I'm not a foodie, right? I love a good meal. Don't get me wrong. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But I'm not that interested in how it's made. However, people tell me something and I then implement it. And I think this is the truth for all of us in my own way of preparing something.
Yes.
And it can make it so much better. Mm. What did you learn that you're not sworn to secrecy on about cooking that we all could know?
It's, there's not a lot that everybody could know. Like, I mean, cooking's cooking. The thing on the course is that the first thing they said to us was, it's one thing to cook what you know. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to know how to cook.
Right.
And so they teach you different cooking techniques. So like the basics of different things.
What I'm getting at is like South Africans all think, every South African man thinks he knows how to braai.
Well, that's funnily enough what I was talking about is because I love braaiing. Mm. And I thought before, way back when, because we're going to go back to before I entered MasterChef by mistake. Yeah, yeah, I know, it's a weird thing. Yeah. He knows the story. You guys don't. But I thought I knew how to braai. But there's so much I've learned. Dealing with like Pete Goffwood is my like culinary sort of guru. And the stuff he taught me, just you learn weird things. Like you'll see, just as an example, you've often stood by a braai and you see these guys, they turn the meat like every 2 seconds, which is very bad. You're supposed to just one side, done. Mm-hmm. But you know what is like is if you're turning the meat every 2 seconds, then you don't have to do anything in the kitchen because you're like, no, I'm super busy. You
look busy.
Yeah. So then you just pretend that buri. In fact, if you ever have kids, anyone, and you have a kiddie's birthday party, like help the guy cooking the buri. Because that's
standing around
that way, even if he's got the tongs and you just like braai support.
No, South African guys are good at that.
Yeah.
But I mean, for example, again, I'm no great shakes with cooking. I like any good South African man, I can braai. I think I can. I haven't fucked it up. But it's like simple. It's like you have to, the simpler it is, the better. Bit of salt, bit of pepper.
That's all you need.
On the one side, on the other side, don't let it get too
crisp.
Well done.
Depends on what you're cooking.
Sure, but I mean, like, let's say steak. Steak is bloody okay. That's my favorite thing in the world to eat. Steak, nice and pink in the middle, nice on the outside, like sealed, but not blue. You want the fat to be a little bit burnt.
There's other little things that a lot of people don't do with steak.
Mm?
Like, firstly, I hate when people marinate steak, as you said. Like. Then you're just tasting marinade. Why are you even eating steak?
Okay,
you might as well have a marinade sandwich. Go to that restaurant with...
By the way, Sims and I have never paid this much attention in our lives. We care about this more than you know.
If you're cooking steak,
yes,
leave it at room temperature for at least a couple of hours. Because if you put it on the braai and it's come straight out of the fridge, this is a mistake a lot of people make, then it's going to be overcooked on the outside and undercooked on the inside. That's the one... biggest tip I can give anyone cooking steak.
For how long?
Well, just so that it's room temperature throughout. So that
like a day.
Not quite a day, but like a couple of hours is fine.
That morning, cook it that night.
And then depending on your, there's magnificent shortcuts. Like if you really want, you can do things like six gun grill or whatever. Mm-hmm. But salt and pepper are flavor enhancers.
Yes.
So you're enhancing the flavor of your steak rather than disguising it.
Adding new flavors that are unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something. If my prison meal would be steak. Like my last day. You know,
big in Deep Slits. It's
no, but that last meal, you know, that they give someone before they put them in death row.
Yeah.
In those movies in America, there's like, what's your last meal? And then people go, oh, I'd like spaghetti bolognese. And I'm like, no, a big T-bone steak. That's perfect. What would yours be?
Well, I don't know.
You haven't thought about this?
I don't plan on going to prison.
Yeah, no, mine would be a really large meal. That's going to take a while to eat, like maybe 10 years.
No, but also like probably something home cooked. I don't know, like seven colors. Like probably like seven, give me seven colors.
That's a good,
On a flowery plate.
On a flowery plate
with those nursery forks.
Yeah. Thank you. With Diet Coke.
Okay, so you've become this culinary guy as well as being a comedian.
Well, the other thing I'm doing that I'm just going to punch shamelessly.
Go on.
I'm running a braai festival.
Ooh.
Nice.
Called the Ultimate Braai Master Live.
Okay, where is this going to happen and how can people be part of it and tell us what it is?
So it's at Monte Cassino,
mm-hmm.
25th to the 27th of October.
Right. Good time to be braaiing.
It's a great time. Any time's a good time to be braaiing.
But it's nice. It's nice outside, warm.
So we've got everything any braai wants. So we've got like a whole expo with braai equipment and braai sauces and spices and whatever you can think of that goes with braais. We sell falskin there. You know what I'm saying?
Amazing.
Because if you're going to braai properly, if wearing falskin makes your braai taste better.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. Try it. And I'm a complete convert.
I will grounds say, you.
I always thought these were like for guys from Bronco Sprite or Krugersdorp or whatever. But when I was there last year, this guy said, yeah, just wear a pair. And then I love them now.
How far are you from a two-tone khaki shirt?
No, that's where I draw the line.
All right.
Like I have one, believe it or not. I've worn it on TV shoots.
I know someone who's English as hell, and he put on one of these once, and he said it transformed him like Clark Kent turning into Superman. He said he's never looked back, and he loves wearing his two-tone khaki shirt now.
My problem is with the two tones and whatever.
Yes.
Like you saw those men on the screen. I get chafed nips. Because of the
what do they call it? Proto breasts.
And then you can feel manly until you've got elastoplast over your nips. And then
because the line is right on the tits.
It is there. Yeah. It is. And mine are a little bit larger
maybe
than most.
Maybe that's why
men's.
They put it there. It's titillating.
Huh?
Maybe that's why they like it. You never thought of that before, huh? Dodgy bastards. Telling you. All right, so this is a big braai fest.
It's a huge braai fest. It's we did it last year. And so this is our second one. We've got all the top braaiers in the country.
Really? Who are these people that are the top braaiers in
the
country?
Oh, you'll be surprised. So obviously the judges from the TV show Ultimate Braai Master, Benny Masekwameng and Pete Garfwood will be there.
Right.
Then last year we had guys like Moses Malloy, Boris Borman, with Kevin Wright, the meat ranger. We've got a guy called Chef Romeo. He's actually a barbecue guy from the States.
Wow.
And he wants to
are there things we can learn from the States?
They're very different in the States. It's something I've learned. They don't braai. And even barbecue is not
they
like
use like a black.
It's a gas thing.
Yeah,
don't they?
That black thing. And then
so like cooking on gas for me is not. It's like outdoor oven.
We like flames.
Yeah. So, but they do barbecue, which is low and slow, which I'm a complete addict of right now. So I'll take, like you like a steak.
Yeah.
But what I'll do is I'll take a 4 kilogram rump.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then I put it on that smoke and I smoke it for about 4 hours.
Mm.
And when it comes out, it's got all the flavor of rump, but it's as tender as fillet. It's amazing. Anyway.
Yeah, so they do like to smoke stuff.
Yes.
That's another thing. They buy special wood in America and then I've got a smoker out back.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that's the big American thing. I still like a braai as well because there's something about that too.
Yeah. But you've touched a nerve. This is something we all care about. Who knew we would be talking about it? It wasn't something I'd prepared to discuss with you. And look at us.
You've been talking about braai
for 10 minutes. All right. So, the comedy stuff you're still doing though.
Comedy stuff, yeah, I still do. Still my first love. Still
and does it
having the
what
best
do you think
time.
25 years? Not a lot of people who've been able to do it for that long. As a career, you're a well-known person in that world. South Africans, we do love comedy. It's become a very, very different industry over those 25 years. Like what are the main things you reckon have changed in comedy in South Africa since all those years ago when you began? And I mean, there are a few guys who were around at that time who are still around.
There's a few. Funnily enough, this weekend I did a gig with, there was a bunch of us from the same era. So it was me and David Cow and Riyad Musa and Joey Rustine all on the same stage.
You know how I can tell like you guys are all, you're much older now than when we started all of this. Because now we called up David the other day. We're like, you must come in. He said, yeah, I'll come on the show anytime. But I got to drop the kids now on the school run. So it's difficult for me to just come in early in the morning. I'm like, my, how things have changed.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, even the comedy. So it was because you kind of, back in the day, we all had different angles of where. And then talking about it, not so much Joey, but me, David and Riyad all spoke about getting old and and what it's like dealing with our kids.
How's
and
the back doing?
I'm not that old yet. Go on. But so it was quite fascinating from that point of view, because like obviously comedy is all about your life and your truth and whatever. And so my life is basically like going to kids' birthday parties. And
but Chris, hang on. I mean, like there's also something so confident and comfortable about someone who's been doing it as long as you have. And I know there's still edge because you could go out there and fuck it up. Obviously, that's always true for comedy. But what I love is that you guys are just so comfortable in your own skin. Like you're not going to get, you're not as sensitive to all the things that you would have been 20 years ago when you'd only been doing it for 5 years. Like now you can go out onto a stage, you'll have fun. The stuff just seems to flow because you've got so much to draw on, so many experiences.
That's the thing with comedy is a lot of it's nonverbal, believe it or not.
Mm.
And if you're comfortable on stage, the audience is more comfortable. They're more relaxed with you. This is true.
Yeah, if you're all pent up and your body language is like, oh, shit, this is I'm nervous.
It's something I try and teach young comedians is the audience subconsciously tenses up with you. And if you're tense, so you're not going to laugh. Like, so when you're super chilled, everybody's super chilled with you. You're having fun.
So do you actually help young comedians?
I do.
Because a lot of comedians I know couldn't be bothered. They're like, fuck you, figure it out on your own.
No, I think when I started out, there were guys, you talk about the differences. It was a very different looking industry when I started out. Oh. There were maybe 5 or 6 full-time comics.
Yeah.
A lot of them still told jokes that you would now get on your family WhatsApp group.
Oof.
So that's embarrassing. What we do now was still then termed alternative comedy. So there were guys who helped me a lot. Guys like, funnily enough, Elp Rogers, who was on that first night when I did my first ever gig. That's why I've got him on for the show I'm doing for my 25-year birthday.
That's awesome. Now, where is the show? You brought it up. Let's hear.
It's at Bev's Burgers, which is at the Risfeld Bowling Club.
Are you combining your cooking with the venue and the comedy?
Not quite.
Not
no,
directly.
I just wanted like a if you've ever been to Bev's Burgers,
no.
Burgers are amazing. They're super delicious.
Okay.
Especially the Argentinian one. And I'm not just saying that because I supply him with his chimichurri sauce.
You're making chimichurri sauce as well?
Yeah, it was a side hustle that started when I was doing my chef's practical. Hence the bacon jam.
You're very versatile.
So it's a very relaxed room. The food's amazing. I've known Bevan of Bev's Burgers since like we were part-time workers at the CNA when we were students.
Really?
Well, I say we. I was at the P&A. He worked at the CNA with my brother, but we had the news agency mafia thing covered.
Wasn't
it was great.
P&A lame?
In those days, it was.
P&A was like the sad version of CNA.
Yeah, I couldn't get the job at the CNA because my brother was the manager, so it would have been weird.
It would have been nepotism.
Yeah, so
of course nowadays nepotism's all the rage. So
they'd be
embarrassed if you got special treatment because your brother owned or was in charge of the shop.
But it was lame because it didn't have music.
Yeah,
it was family friendly.
Yeah,
but I promise you, if you came to the P&A in Cresta. We sold more Tippex than us to kids coming to on Friday. We actually had to take it off the shelves.
Because the kids back in those days, I know this sounds
they made a
really
lot of mistakes and their Tippex got dry.
Yeah. They used to Tippex was to mm-hmm. Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Okay, but they used to sniff it as well.
Did your generation not sniff Tippex?
No,
than
we
us?
Did glue.
Oh, you see.
Mm.
That was the cheaper option.
Mm.
Did you stick together?
Look at us going over our great. This is a nice retrospective of life in South Africa in the in the 90s, the 2000s. What did your generation know? We sniffed Tippex thinners, and yours glue.
Yeah.
And the ones now, God knows, some kind of methamphetamine filled.
I hope they've got better stuff.
Thing.
No, they don't.
Well, on your tie. I never did it myself. I always thought it was weird. Like Tippex thinners on your tongue.
Yeah, I was never a Tippex thinners sniffer.
I remember
there was this one kid in our school. He was quite a big Tippex thinners sniffer. And he was always at the back of the class, would fall asleep quite often, wouldn't be fetched by his parents, very seldom passed the subject, very seldom had anything to say or do that wasn't about being in trouble or being shouted at by the teachers. I don't think he lasted very long.
Except John Steenhuisen.
No, he actually got his matric. Do you have any comment on what's going on with this government of national unity? We spoke about Gates and McKenzie earlier. He seems like he's having a real good time.
I'm loving what he's saying. Let's see if he does it. I don't know if it's true or not that the ANC guys were moaning that they're being outshone.
They'd be embarrassed. This was a story. I mean, look, it was on News 24, and how do you know what to believe? But
they've never. I love News 24. Nikki's the chick there. She's on the ball, so it must be true.
Okay, so you think it's true. But they said the ANC are embarrassed because the DA ministers are making them look bad.
It's about time.
You listen to
them. No, because the thing is, if you think about it, it makes sense. Because like the ANC guys for the longest time, was it Jay-Z who was like, we're going to be in charge until Jesus comes back.
Yes, that was him, yeah.
And then he left Man City and now he plays for Arsenal and he's made a great comeback. Gabriel Jesus. and then, that was a terrible joke.
It's horrible. So that family WhatsApp group, yeah.
don't get me started Jesus getting on the end of
crosses.
We're
not paying him to be here. If you want to see the real comedy, you have to pay. Yeah,
come to Bev's Burgers on the 8th of August.
There we go.
But like if you don't feel you got to work for something, you're not going to work for it.
Yeah.
Versus if you're the DA, you're like, yo, we've got to show these guys something. They're going to put in effort.
They've been moaning and complaining and saying, oh, you guys can't do this for so long.
Yes,
like, okay, you try. And now that they're in there, they've got to do it. And we'll see what happens. Listen, I just think whatever happens here, it's better than anything we had before.
Yes.
Even if they're average.
Yeah, they didn't start with a high base, I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, so we must be pleased that if they're a little bit about each other's, but you're doing better than me, good. Finally, some competition.
Yeah, just like sort of steal this.
Yeah, but merit is a great thing because you have to earn it. And no one in the DA is just because they're in the DA cleverer or better than anyone in the ANC. It's about how much they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lazy, you will get nothing done. And I'm excited to see people like Gayton, who doesn't look like he's lazy, already doing and saying things that seem to be making a huge difference. And yes, if it makes the others look bad, too bad.
What is Mr. Groenewald doing to the people in prison?
That is Simpiwe's favorite minister.
Hey, that man, he is the employee of the month. That man is doing the Lord's work. Hallelujah.
In a two-tone shirt.
Protect that man at all costs. Like, hey, that man is working. He's working. Continue with the good work. Continue with the raids in the prison.
He's not allowed the death penalty, but if you mess around, you have to sit in solitary and listen to Steve Hoffmeyer for.
I wouldn't be mad at that. Prison doesn't be fun, guys. Like,
John Bad Dog says in the comments, El Prodges is doing a travel history show, which is apparently fantastic.
So he's got a YouTube channel. I think it's called Off the Road or Off the Beaten Track or something like that. It's brilliant. El's a very talented guy.
Take a look at that. Yeah, I love El Prodges.
For the longest time, I've been saying he's one of the most underrated comics in South Africa. He's a very smart guy.
He's superb. So who else from that era do you still see? Who else are you still mates with?
In terms of comics who started out at the same time.
You mentioned David.
All the Pure Manati Show guys we still see from quite often. A lot of them have gone on to. Kakiso's making great movies.
I saw Tsepo in Durban a while ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And we laughed.
Why are you laughing?
Tsepo was a character of extreme.
It's fantastic. We laughed for a whole night.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. So, look, we were drinking as well. So.
Obviously. Ronnie Barimula, he's also on the lineup. He is a guy, when I first started out, him and me, if you remember, another person from that era was Joe Parker.
Yes, of course.
Joe Parker used to run the gig at Hurricanes. He lives in London now with his kids. He's sadly lost his club during lockdown.
But he did so much for comedy.
He made it an industry. No. Like, he really, really took the industry by the scruff of the neck and made it. But he was my first ever manager, and me and Ronnie were the youngsters in the stable. And so we didn't fly in those days.
Oh.
So I had a blue Ford Laser dash. And that thing drove, I did about 500,000 kilometers driving around the country in this blue. And I drove it, my wife, when we first met, she was like, "You're on TV. Can't you get a better car?" And I was like, "I'm driving this thing till the engine blows up."
And where is it now? Did you have to sell it?
The engine blew up.
Oh, no. The engine blew
up. No, it's actually quite a sad story because it did blow up. And then I replaced the, well, it was the head gasket and the head cracked.
Did this car have a name?
Betsy. Betsy the Blue Thunder. All my cars have a name. I'm weird like that. Mm. But I sold it to this dude and he loved it.
Mm.
And he used to phone me every week and tell me how much he loved the car.
Oh.
And then he phoned me the one week and he was like, he lived in Shoshanguve and it had been hijacked.
Oh.
And the police, he hadn't done the transfer yet. So the police were like, if we find it, we're going to phone the previous owner. And he phoned me for like once a week for like 3 months. Shame. Going, did the police call you? And I was like, oh, dude, man. I don't know if you know the police in this country, but... That car's not coming back. So Betsy got hijacked.
Probably chopped up for parts.
Yeah,
I hate to talk about her like this. It's like when my mom told us that the dogs had gone to the farm. And I was like, what do you mean, mom?
Did your mom chop your dogs up for parts?
No. No, but she had them put down. Oh. But she's like, oh, you know, we sent them off to the farm. I was like, what farm? Whose farm? Why? She was like,
they're not good at farming.
It wasn't right to keep them in town. It's not fair. And I was like, oh, okay, I get this. She's just trying to soften the blow. So maybe this guy, maybe he sold Betsy for parts and he was trying to soften the blow.
But we had to, my mom was hectic with that. We had to bury the dogs ourselves. So it was a double whammy. Your dog's dead. Now you've got to dig a hole. You know how hard it is to dig a hole.
And did the vet labor? Come and put them to sleep or did you shoot them?
No, in most cases, it was the vet. I must tell you the story.
Because there was one or two cases where you just shot them.
We had this dog called Spike. And it's quite dark, but it's one of my favorite stories. So I was getting older and my brother had moved out. And so my mom didn't want Spike to go because he was on his last legs. And she didn't want him to go and not have a hole to be buried in. So we pre-dug the hole for Spike.
Oh, Jesus, how long? You can see how long in advance?
But then the one night she's calling the dogs in and Spike is not there. So she fears the worst. But when she went to look for him, he was stuck in his hole.
He had fallen in his own grave.
But I promise you, he perked up like you won't believe.
He lived another 2 years. He was like, guys, I'm okay. He tried it out for size, didn't like it. He's like, I've got more life to live. Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
It's just this dog had energy. It's like, woo.
He's like, not today, Satan.
I'll tell you what, it's like if you adopt a rescue dog, and I think parents, people who do, are the coolest people in the world because, you know, you can buy a dog or whatever, but if you actually go and rescue one, man, those things are grateful.
Oh, yeah. No,
they're so grateful. They're like, what do you want me to do? Must I jump? Must I pant? Must I bark? Must I just sit here and be quiet? Anything you want.
I've got two. They're brilliant. They're amazing. They're
lovely, man. All right, I'm sorry about Spike and Betsy. but we won't end the show on a downer. We'll remind people, first of all, of your Braai Fest, which is happening at Monte Cassino in October. What date?
25th to the 27th.
Magical.
So, come then, through. There'll be... So I'm just going to keep punting it. I hope you've got time. We've got amazing... I vetted it myself. All the food vendors are selling Braai food, except, of course, for the guy who's selling ice cream.
And when he says vetted it himself, he doesn't mean he's going to shoot you if you don't come.
No,
will
there
also be biltong?
There will be biltong. And the two guys I've got coming for biltong. One is a place called Nuach's.
My kind of people. It's going to be good.
Which is amazing. Their biltong was top notch. And then hopefully Meat World is also, because their bubble ice makes is next level. We've got everything Braai. We've got demos. I pair all the demo chefs with comedians.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So like last year we had Jason and Nick Goliath and Richly Bonwa and me, obviously. And then, as I said, the expo is amazing. We've got a competition,
mm-hmm.
which we'll be telling people how to enter soon. And then you can actually buy a judging ticket. So you can be a judge of the competition.
I think Simpiwa, that would
be good
for
Pete and Benny
you.
Will put you on a judging course.
I mean, that's quite a big deal.
And then you can judge the competition, which is amazing. So tickets are at Quicket.
I like it. Okay.
Go check it out.
Very good. And then your show for your 25th anniversary?
That is on the 8th of August. The day after is Women's Day, so you can come celebrate.
Okay, nice. Cool.
So it's the day before public holiday, the 8th of August. Tickets also on Quicket.
Bev's Burgers.
Bev's Burgers at the Risveld Bowling Club.
Lekker.
The comedy is going to be amazing. As I say, Al Prodgers and Ronnie Marimula, because of my history with them. Unfortunately, the other guys on the lineup are unavailable. One's in Cape Town.
Did you shoot them?
No, well, it was, I'll tell you who it was. It was Tony Stewart.
Oh.
Bless him. What a great guy, but he's very old now and I don't know how to get hold of him.
Okay.
It was Ryan Whittle, who lives in Cape Town.
Okay.
There was a guy called Dale Abrahams, who was possibly the worst comedian I've ever seen in my life, so he's not coming. also, he lives in Swaziland. Darren Ball was there taking notes. He was brilliant at the beginning of my career. He's the one who actually got me into comedy.
Really?
And then Al Prodgers was the headliner. Yeah.
Nice. Mm. Okay, well, we're looking forward to both of those, and it's good to see you again.
It's always good to be here. Like, yeah, new like home here as well. And,
yeah, very
and
now nice. You like the place? What we've done with it?
Yes, it's wonderful. And then this is on TV as well.
Yeah.
I would have cut my hair if I'd known. Yeah. I would have.
Shame you would have dressed
grow
up.
Some.
Yeah, dressed up. Well, Simpiwe is not going to date you because she won't. She's very into like
I mean, also, I wear a football shirt.
No, yeah, I was going to say, you're wearing one now, so maybe, but he's married.
Have to, no, I'm superstitious. No. I only wear it when they're playing. But I just have to put something out there as per your earlier discussion. You can change your life partner. You can't change your football team.
There we go. So you have that's your line.
There's a round of applause for those of you who can't hear off mic.
That's James and Flex. They don't really have any say on the show. All right. Thank you, everybody. We got to go, and we will see you on Monday, 6 a.m. Have an excellent weekend. Keep warm because it's still not great, and watch the Olympics. And don't forget about these two fantastic events that are going on with Chris Forrest. You don't want to miss them. Have an awesome weekend. Bye.
Bye. Just for giggles. Yeah, for giggles. Margaret. Just for giggles. Just for giggles. Yeah, boy, geekos.